We're on page Tes, Sefer Maamarim, Tavir Samach Tes, 3 lines from the top, where it says, starts on Nimshach, the line that starts on Nimshach in the middle after the period of Hadugma Zayivan Lail. Just to give a synopsis of what we just spoke about on the previous page, we're giving a mashal for the idea of Yesh, Ayin, Ayin, Yesh. That there's actually four different levels. There's the Yesh Amiti, which is a mashal for the Hashem's true existence, the true essence of Hashem. That's the mashal for that is the koyach tzemeach ha'atzmi, the general koyach tzemeach, the power, the vegetative power. But that's still just to itself and has no connection at all to tzmicha. Then there is the ayin, which is drawn down from that yesh amiti, which that's the ayin. It's called ayin because it's nothing compared to its source. It's just the ha'ara from the source, and that is the koyach tzemeach ha'kloli, which gives the potential for the idea, the general idea of growth, but has no relationship to the actual growth which comes from it. Then there's the ayin of the yesh hanivra. There's the ayin, when we call it ayin compared to the actual physical fruit which grows from it, because it's a spiritual realm, it's totally higher from it, it's nothing, so to say, it doesn't exist in the physical realm. That's why it's called ayin. So that is the kech tzemech prati, that's an actual source for the specific growths which come from it. And then there's the actual yesh hanivra, which that is the actual fruit, which grows from it. We'll start there, three lines on the top. Now we can understand the analog above in godliness. So the yesh amiti, the true existence, which is the first highest level, the ultimate truth of Hashem's existence, the only true existence, not the existence which seems to us like an existence, the yesh hanivra, but the true existence, which is Hashem's existence. That is the essence of Hashem, which is she'ena begeder hamshacha, and it's an inyan atzmi. It's to itself. Therefore, it's not in the realm of being drawn down and being expressed. She'ena begeder makor leilamis, and you can't even call it. It's not even in the realm of being a source to worlds. Afle bechinas makor kloli. You can't even say that yet. That it's a general source, meaning a potential for the. It gives potential for worlds at this level. Yesh amiti. There's no potential, even theoretical possibility for any worlds. Because it's not within the realm of having any connection, any relationship with the idea of worlds at that level. Just like the koyach tzemeach atzmi, even though it's koyach tzemeach atzmi, it's koyach tzemeach. It's totally atzmi to itself and not connected at all to the idea of tzmicha. But then there's the ayin, which is drawn down from that yesh amiti, from Hashem's true existence. It's called ayin because it's just a ha'ara. That's the revelation from Hashem's true existence, is just the external reflection from Hashem, not the essence of Hashem. It's just something which is drawn out from Hashem's essence. Just like the which is the reflection from the Koyach Tzemeach Atzmi. That's why it's called Ayin. Even though it's a very, very hard level in dark, a hard dark in Ruchnis, how can we call it ayin, nothing? Because the fishahu b'chinas ha'ar levad, because it's only external reflection from Hashem's true essence. So compared to Hashem's essence, it's as if it doesn't exist. But this oyir, even though it's ayin compared to Hashem's essence, but it's still, since it's a oyir, it's me'ain, it's totally attached to the source of light, therefore it's me'ain, it has the same properties, same characteristics as the essence. And just like the Shem's essence is totally removed from all relationship to worlds, so to this ha'ara, which comes directly from that essence, is totally above, transcends, it's on a very high level, it's still very far removed from worlds, because of its very existence, meaning at its very level, is totally removed from worlds. Maybe it's a makor kloli. It gives it the possibility for the existence of worlds, whereas Hashem's essence leaves no room for worlds at all. Here we have a possibility for worlds, a general possibility, but still it's removed from the actual creation and being an actual source. Like we said earlier in the analogy of the vegetative power, the kishem shekeiach tzemeach atzmi who moved the berech mitzvichas and gashmis, just like the essential vegetative power is totally removed from actual physical growth. So to the reflection from that essential power, is also very, very far removed from actual physical growth. It just gives potential, the possibility for eventual growth. So too, we can apply this above in godliness. The ayin, which is drawn down, the ha'ar from the yesh amiti, it's still even though it's nothing compared to the actual mor, but it's me'ein the mor, it has similar properties. So harei b'vichinus avdolos, erech mina ulamis, it's totally removed from the actual world. Therefore, it's not an actual source for actual worlds. It's just a potential. Eventually, will come from it. The potential there will eventually come from it worlds, but it's just a potential for worlds. It's the beginning of the possibility for worlds. And also because this ayin is not just called ayin because it's nothing compared to its source, but it's ayin because it lacks all existence. It's nothing. It's ayin. It lacks existence because it's attached still to that original source, which doesn't have any existence, so to say, in the realm of how we define existence. Therefore, it can't be a source for existence. In order to be something, a source for something, you have to be be'erich to it. So this thing, which is ayin, it cannot be a source for something which is a yesh. It's not in the realm of being a yesh. It's an ayin still. It's a hedra metzias. Mashu b'chinas mbakir le'elamis, and that which is an actual source for world, zeo rak ha'ara michinas ayin shal yesh metichul. That's only the ha'ara, which extends from the ha'ara from the yesh amiti, which is now that's the ayin of the yesh hanivra. So that is the end of the first mimer. And it's interesting that we on page Zion, and near the top of the page, we said that there is actually in truth there's two days, the Das Eli and Das Tachlin. The truth is there are not just two perspectives, the perspective of Elikus and the perspective of Anivra of a creation. Rather, they both exist within Elikus. That there's from the perspective of the Yesh Amiti. The Yesh Amiti, that's Hashem's perspective in his very essence. So, Lamaila Yesh Lamata Ayin. Everything that's lower is Ayin, right? And even the Ha'ara, which is drawn down from Hashem's essence, is Ayin, like we just said. And the perspective, the Das Tachtin, would be from the perspective of the Yesh HaNivra, or the perspective of even the Oyr, the key, which is the Mokr for the Yesh HaNivra. So that oyer, which is a ha'ara of a ha'ara from the Yesh Amiti, that oyer gives room for Olamis. And so therefore, from the perspective of that oyer, it would be Lamata Yesh. Down here is the Yesh, and Lamaila is Ayin, and above me is Ayin. Because that level of Elikos gives room and gives a certain type of importance to worlds, because the source worlds. He went on to explain after that, he said that it's known that in these three levels of Yesh, Ayin, Yesh, the first Yesh is the Yesh Amiti, the second Yesh is the Yesh Anivra, and between them is the Ayin. And then really there's two dargas of the Ayin. So from this whole explanation of the Mashal, the Keach Tzemeach, we can understand how these Keldei Savaya also exist within Elikos, that within the Ayin of the Yesh Anivra, which is the Ha'ara of the Ha'ara, from the perspective of that Oyr, which is a direct Makar to Ilumis, that Oyr, since it's direct mokker, it gives a yachas, a erich, a chshivus, a tfisus, mokum to worlds. And therefore, from its perspective, lamata yesh, whatever is lower is a yesh, and lamaila, whatever is above is ein. It's above my hasag, above my grasp. And that's how the mimer ends. Sefer Memorim Tofer Samach Tes, Amud Tes, page 9. We're starting a new mimer in the middle of the page. B'siat d'shmaya yim beiz d'rosh Hashanah reish Samach Tes. The help of Evi in the second day of Rosh Hashanah, 56:69. To my beloved is to me. He browses among the lilies. So, what does this mean? According to Pshat, this David says that it means just like all my desire is to my beloved, so too his desire is to me, and he is the one who grazes among the Sheshanim, the roses, the lilies, to bring from me, from these flowers, a gift. And the Nimshal to the Zabit says, is to say that just like I did not choose a foreign god for myself, the Jewish people are saying this, so too, Hashem didn't abandon me totally to choose those who worship idols. And so too, even now, Hashem receives with great desire my learning of Torah, my davening, and they're guarded by Him, to give because of them to give me a great reward for them. And that's like this prize of the lilies that the beloved is giving. So Hashem has not abandoned us, and He even gives us a schar reward because of the Torah mitzvahs that we do. So that's the pshat of the pasuk. Hine anila de rashi tevis elu v'sefer tevis dal yudin. So the first letters of each anila de aleph lamid vav lamid is the rashi tevis actually spells el, the month of el. Before Rosh Hashanah, the Sefer Tevis in the end of these letters, which is all four yuds in a row, the end letters of these words is the four yuds. Hey mem yoim, and they hint to the 40 days. The 40 days from the beginning of the month of Elul till Yom Kippur. Moshe Bahar leKabaluchas Achrenis, and Moshe was on the mountain to receive the second set of the tablets. Shenukei Meiratzin, and that's why these days or these 40 days are called days of auspicious days, days of will, of Hashem's will is revealed. Like it says in the pasuk that I stood, Moshe is saying, I stood on these, on the mountain, these days I stood on the mountain, like the first days that that Moshe Rabbeinu was on the mountain, that he received the first tablets. And the Chazal say on this, just like the first days that Moshe Rabbeinu was on the mountain, received the first tablets, were a auspicious, special time. Hashem was desired the Jewish people at the time. They didn't do anything wrong. Obviously, until the sin of the golden calf. But until then, they were beratzin. So too, the last days were days of ratzin, days of auspicious days of Hashem's desire, His ratzin, His will was revealed. So these 40 days of El, ani ladeidi v'deidi li, I am to my beloved. The Jewish people are pointing to Hashem, so to say, are coming close to Hashem, and therefore Hashem automatically is coming down to us. They're hinted to in the beginning of the Anil Deli, and the end, the 40 days, which are from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, days of special, auspicious days. These days they were when Moshe Rabbeinu was on the mountain, the Har Sinai, to get the second set of Lukos, and they were days, auspicious days. The Haroya B'Sheshanim, when it says at the end of the pasuk, who grazes amongst the Sheshanim, the lilies, who kvishkos b'zayar ba'akadam v'ascholosei. It's like it says in the Zayar, in the preface of the Zayar at the beginning, it says, Ma Sheshana Isla Tleser Olin Desochin La, just like a Sheshana, this rose has, or a lily, or a rose, has 13 petals which surround it. Uf Hachi Knesset Sheshal Isla Tleser Mechil Nirachim Chul, so too the Jewish people have 13 Mides of Rachim, 13 attributes of mercy which surround them. And obviously that's the source for the divine mercy, the 13 attributes of mercy. This is the Yemei Rotzin. So that's why it's saying that in Anila Deidi Li, in this time of Elul, which Hashem is extra close to us, and it's Yimei Rotzin, and it's hinted to in the four Yuds, which is the 40 days, these days are Hareya B'Sheshanim, or days when Hashem's mercy, His 13 attributes of mercy, are revealed to us. V'tzorech Lovin. So you have to understand. Ta'alei Knesset Yisrael hu b'chinas malchus k'neda. Knesset Yisrael, which is hinted to in this verse, which says Hareya B'Sheshanim, that the Knesset Yisrael is surrounded by the 13 petal rose, by the 13 attributes of mercy. So Knesset Yisrael usually refers to Malchus, as it's known. Knesset Yisrael, Knesset means the congregation of Israel. B'loshin, from the expression, from the root of Knesset, L'Seicha, it gathers into itself. And that's the idea of Malchus. Malchus gathers into itself all the Oyer from the 9 spheres which are above it, and transfers it down to the lower worlds. So that's the idea of Malchus is Knesset Yisrael. Whereas the 13 attributes of mercy, which is in this Zayar, the 13 petaled rose, these 13 attributes of mercy, they are rooted in Keser, which is synonymous with the Shem Zerotzin. And actually, in other places it says that the real, true root of these 13 attributes of mercy is in the inner core of Keser, and Hashem is very pleasure. So it's the deep, deep level in godliness. So what does it mean then that the Knesset Yisrael, which is Malchus of Atzilus, has 13 petaled rose, meaning 13 attributes of mercy? Malchus compared to the Pnimis of Keser, very far from each other. So how could you say that Malchus has 13, this connection, this deep connection to Keser? Also, what's the connection of this idea, of all this whole idea with I need the deity of deity li? I am to my beloved is to me. Like we said, the pshat from Matilas David, my whole desire is to Hashem, and Hashem's desire is to me, never abandon me. what's the connection of all these ideas of El, Yimei Yiratzin, the 13 attributes of mercy, Knesset Yisrael, Malchus connected to that, connected to the 13 attributes of mercy, this whole connection to the actual Pasuk and Yildedi. So to understand all this, we first have to preface what we explained earlier in the previous Maimer about Gimel Madreges Yesh V'Ayin V'Yesh, these three levels we spoke about of Yesh, meaning the Yesh Amiti, Hashem's true existence, the Ayin in the middle, which is really composed of two Ayins, and then the Yesh, or the Yesh Nivra. So Ayin, so Ayin B'chinas Ayin Shal Yesh Amiti B'chinas Mokar of the Yesh Nivra. He said the Ayin, the Ha'ara, which is drawn down from the Yesh Amiti, is not a direct source for the existence of the Yesh Nivra, of the created Yesh. Ha'alif Mitzad Etzem Behusei, and we said two reasons. One, because it's very level itself. Shemuvdo Be'erech Me Yesh Nivra. It's, even though it's just a Ha'ara from the Yesh Amiti, it's still very, very removed from the Yesh Nivra. Va'beis, the second reason, the Mitzad Hed Ha'metiyah Shaleichelu, because it lacks all existence, that's what we call it, Ayin. And therefore, it can't be a source for real existence when it itself lacks existence, lacks tangible, relatable existence. So that's what we have to preface in order to understand the these questions on Yildedi V'Yedidi Li. So to explain these two points of why the Ayin that is drawn down from the Yesh Amiti cannot be a mucker to the Yesh, either because it's very level, is still very removed from the Yesh and Nivra, or because it's the Heder Metzius, it lacks existence. Let's get in more deep into that. The idea of when we say that this Ayin of the Yesh, which is the Ha'ara from the Yesh Amiti, lacks existence, that means that it's only Pashut. Pashut, it's very simple. Simple comes the word in Hebrew, Mufshut. It's stripped from all tzir, from all definition. And that's what it means, that it's Hedem Mitzvah, because it's so stripped from all definition, therefore it cannot create defined entities of these defined creations of worlds. Tekamoyisha etzemu pashut. But is just like the essence, the Yesh Amiti is totally pashut, undefined, above all definition, it's simple, without any definition, in the utmost simplicity, and kamoykin, ha'ara gamkim chetz pashut, so to the ha'ara, which is drawn from it, which is the Ayin of the Yesh Amiti, also has the same quality of Pshitas, being totally stripped from all definition, because he said that the Ha'ara is Me'ein the Etzem. The idea of Pshitas, of being simple, means lacks all complexity, meaning it lacks all definition, lacks existence, defined existence. For example, Hashem's light, which is totally simple, it lacks all defined existence and seer, because all existence, the mitzias, the existence, the defined entities of chachma and chesed, that's all relating to the actual kelim, which the kelim are mitzias. But within the oir, the simple, undefined oir, there is no existence, a specific existence, defined existence of spheres yet. That is the idea of the pshitas, the simplicity of the oyer, that it's stripped, simple, has no definition yet. No tzir. So too, this applies to the ha'ara, the ayin, which is drawn down from the Yesh Amiti. Its simplicity is expressed in the fact that the fact that it lacks all existence, it lacks defined existence, meaning definition, tzir. That's what it means, pshitas. Meshumza ainim b'chinas mokar, and that's why it's not a direct source for worlds. Me'achashe ainim b'chinas metzias chulu, because it's not, it doesn't have a defined existence, therefore it can't be a source for defined entities. For example, like we said, the oyer, the Hashem's energy, Hashem's undefined energy, the only way it can create defined entities is only through being channeled through the kli, through the vessel, which is a metzias. Which goes to get us a kodesh. Like we said that, and it says in the Geras HaKodesh from Tanya and Simon Chaf, and the Geras HaKodesh says Iyu v'garmai, and then he adds an extra word Chad Bohoin, Chad Livrei Bohem Al Yodam Me'ayin Yesh, that Hashem and His Kalim are totally one to be able to create through them, and in them and through them, from nothing to something. What does that mean? She'ef Shaliyas Yisavus Me'ayir, that it's impossible to be a creation directly from the simple undefined Ayir. Only through the defined, the metzias of the kli. Because if you want to create something which is a metzias, it has to come through, be channeled through the metzias of the kli. The Eir itself is Pasha, totally removed from all definition. Altsir, therefore, it can't be a source for defined entities. In the parentheses, Ach, Shom, Hu, Mitzad. We're on now page Yud, three lines from the top, the end. Ach, Shom, in Tanya over there, Gersa Kedish, Hu, Mitzad, Milas Eir. It's saying because the Eir is so high, it can't be, it cannot be connected, it cannot create entities which are so far away from it. Gosh, mystic entities. Shu moved the Be'erich, Min, Mitzir, Seyeshkulu. So high, it's totally removed from the existence, from entities which are defined entities, independent entities. So it's a different word over there. It's not saying, here we're saying that the Eir is Heder Metzius, it lacks all existence, therefore can't be source for existence. There it's saying, no, it's too high, it's too much above the idea of Metzius, to create a Metzius. Not the idea of lacks all existence, lacks all Tzir. But really the truth is, this idea of pshitas, we're saying here, the Heder Metzius really includes both ideas, both qualities. Both meaning the idea of being totally removed, totally incomparably removed from the entities, from the yesh, anivra, in the Heder Metzius, and also the fact that it lacks all Tzir, lacks all existence. So even though the point of Tanya over there is really relating to a different aspect of the Eir, that it's so high, and therefore it's so unlimited and infinite, therefore it cannot create finite entities. And here we're talking about it's so undefined, therefore it cannot create defined entities. But really, in that idea of pshitas being undefined is included the idea that it's also very far removed and infinite and above. We'll stop there, six lines from the top, at the beginning of the line.